Good. Hey, good to be with you all this morning. We have been in a series all summer. We've got one more week left in this series, going through the book of Proverbs. And what we're after in this series is wisdom for everyday living. How many of y'all, you just bless your pastor for a second, even if you're not telling the truth, just raise your hand. Have you gotten a little more wise this summer? Has it been helpful a little bit? You grown in some wisdom a little bit? Okay, balcony, I didn't see any of y'all raise your hand, so I love you. God bless you. You were probably just like, I will not lie. I will not tell a lie. And I appreciate that about our church. As we've been going, we've covered various different topics. And let me just, if you brought a friend with you to church, let me just tell the friend real quick. If you're a guest with us this morning, your friend had no idea what we were going to talk about today. All right. So they're off the hook for whatever happens next. Okay. They just were like, hey, come, it'll be a good time. And if you are that guest today, I just want to say, I'm sorry. We're kind of getting in the deep end today in the book of Proverbs. We will be talking about the seductive woman and the simple man. That's where we're going today in the book of Proverbs. If you have been reading through Proverbs this summer, this is a topic that comes up frequently. Like there have been several times we're reading this book with our kids before bed and we're getting to a proverb and we're like, you know what? We're going to go to the next one real quick. We're just seeing through some of this stuff. And so with that, let me just say, I'm a parent of small children in this church. And so I know that it is the parents' privilege and responsibility to have the conversations at your pace with your kids. They're not our kids, they're your kids. And so with that, you know the topic for today. And if you need to make a judgment call right now to create a little space, maybe go into the family room, grab yourself an extra donut, get yourself a little more coffee. I know you want to do that anyways. I just bless you in Jesus' name. Those calories, they're not even going to count today. They're not even going to count. All right. So, I think The hope and the intent here is to be helpful, because the second thing that I know that is true is that this topic, what we're going to wade into today, some of these scriptures, they press on some of the most real parts of our human experience. And maybe some of the most tender and hurting parts of our soul are maybe going to be pricked at just a little bit today. And so I've been praying that this message wouldn't just be unnecessarily harsh, or it wouldn't cut into anything in a non-helpful sort of way, but like a surgeon, maybe God would do his work in order that he could bring about the most healthy version of ourselves that he could possibly bring. Amen? And so just know that's where we're going today. I'm not going to be any more graphic than the Bible is, parents, but I do think the Bible at times, if we were to give it a rating, it'd probably be PG-13. You know what I'm saying? And we're gonna have some of those today. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 7. If you have your Bible, you can go and open them on up. We're going to read several passages today. If you don't have your Bible, it's going to be on the screen. If you are looking for extra credit today, you can go ahead and open up the YouVersion app. The YouVersion app will have all the slides loaded in there under our event today. So you can do that. Proverbs chapter 7, starting in verse 6. You're like, what? There's extra credit? Is there like a test? No, there's no test. Praise Jesus. Okay. Proverbs 7, verse 6. For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him. And with bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey, and he took with him a bag of money. At full moon, he will come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her. As an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chamber of death. And so this passage here really is written from Solomon as a letter to his son. Solomon is writing to his son really to encourage him to avoid the trappings of the sin lust. This letter is written as a warning. And so younger people in the room today, there is a saying that I've heard several times, and I think it's worth repeating this morning, that an ounce of prevention is with a pound of cure. And so if you're young in this place today, I want you to know you maybe have not started certain habits. You have not gotten yourself caught in the weeds in certain things yet. And I want to remind you today that God's principles, if they are put into your life, they work. And I want to remind you today that there is a life free from regret and shame that some of us maybe carry in our life today that you can avoid if you listen to this message today. And I want to be clear on the very front of this. Nobody gets through this topic completely unscathed. As we go through the message today, what I'm going to do is we're going to talk about the simple man, we're going to talk about the seductive woman, and then we're going to talk about how we grow in strength as men and women so that we might become a virtuous woman, not me, you know, ladies, you can become a virtuous woman, and men, we can become strong men, not led by our compulsions. But nobody gets through this perfectly. Not one person. Not one person in this room is free from mistakes. And so I just want to remind you on the very onset of this message that there is freedom from your past in Jesus alone. There is hope, there is identity, there is value, there is worth that can be infused into your life today. If you'll let the Spirit do it today, there's forgiveness that can be found in Christ alone. We just sang about it in this song. It's this beautiful song, you know, thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. What are we singing about blood being applied? It's this idea of being spotless, of being declared innocent. Where there once was scarlet sin that has tainted maybe our past, our track record, now today we can receive hope, healing, and light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to remind us all from that very onset that there's no one that is perfect. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you want to know what I'm after today, I'm after a little offense for men and a little offense from ladies so that we might all be directed more closely towards Jesus. All right? All right, well, you're like, okay, I am really sorry for bringing this friend today. No, I'm just kidding. I think it'll be helpful. I mean, part of this, before we just jump into it, part of this, like our world is so filled with sex and sexuality in a tempting sort of way, in an unhealthy sort of way. It's plagued, I would say, is the proper use of the word right now, isn't it? That like you have young kids and parents, if your kids have friends with phones, then you need to be having conversations with them all the time. We picked up this phrase back in the Birds and Bees series that we did earlier this year. You should not be aiming as a parent to have one 100-minute conversation with your kids. That is far too few a conversation. Rather, you should have 100 one-minute conversations with them while they'll still listen to you. All right? So here we go into the message today. The first thing that we're going to notice about the simple man is that a simple man is led astray easily by what he sees and what he hears. Men, I don't mean to be demeaning at all, but the Proverbs are filled with the fact that the seductive woman is dressed in a nice way and she is talking in a smooth way. And that is somehow, it is enough to get some of us simple men at times distracted, pulled into the weeds to go somewhere where we didn't want to go. She's talking in a kind of way where it says in Proverbs 5:3, the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. They're sweet. They sound sweet. It sounds nice. Maybe she's speaking to that insecurity. She's saying that thing that you've always wanted somebody else to say. And finally, you have some girl that is resonating with those words in your ear. Her lips drip of honey and her speech is smoother than oil. Maybe it's not the physical sin that you're getting yourself caught into. Maybe some of you men, you're going to realize today that you've been giving your ear to women and you now have kind of a weird emotional connection with women that are not your spouse. Maybe you're drawing yourself over some attention. Your ear is being lent in this kind of way where, oh, I like the way that she talks to me. And I just want to warn you that it's a simple man that gets easily distracted by the things that he sees or the things that he hears. It says in Proverbs 7:21, with much seductive speech, she, the seductive woman, persuades him. And with smooth talk, she compels him. Notice that the simple man is always veering his path a little too close to sin. In Proverbs 7:8, we just read this through the story. The simple man, what he's foolishly doing is he's steering his path too close to the tempting woman's house, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road by her house. What time was the simple man walking by her house? It was in the evening. It was as it was getting dark. Men, I would just remind you today that if you are stumbling by, looking at something that you don't want to look at, if you're getting caught in some sort of temptation that you don't want to get caught into, the first step that I think that you can take today is you can take a dramatic step to separate yourself from that temptation. So when do you get in trouble? When is it that you're stumbling? When is it that you're falling? Is it at night on a computer? Move the computer, lock it away, put it next to somebody that you aren't going to sin next to. Is it on your phone? Here's something. Get an analog alarm clock. You remember those things? And we talked about this kind of last week, this idea of diligence and work, not hitting the snooze button all the time. You know, you can get a digital alarm or an analog alarm clock that when you hit the top, it's got wheels on it. If you hit the snooze button, it rolls away. Two birds with one stone here, folks. I'm just trying to help you, right? What if you didn't go to bed with your phone? What if you kept it in a different room? I'm not telling you what the step is, but is there a dramatic step that you can take to separate yourself from the temptation? That's the key. The simple man is always veering his path too close to the temptation, and he's always getting caught in the honey trap. What can you do to separate yourself from the temptation? Proverbs 6:25. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. So it's not just what she says, what you hear, it's also what you see. And I know what you're thinking right now. How in the world did Solomon know the kind of eyelashes that girls were going to be wearing in 2024, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, ladies, you want to put some fake stuff on, mascara all day, you know, all day. But like, there's some caterpillar situations out there. You know what I'm saying, right? And it's like, okay, I don't think that's actually what Solomon meant when he's writing this proverb. You know what I'm saying? He's not looking prophetically through time going like, you should see the stuff they're going to wear in 2024. No, but what he's saying is that women, they have a way of just looking at a man and capturing their attention in a way that they shouldn't. Women can make eyes at you. They can look at you. They can draw your attention just with a glance in a way that can be harmful and dangerous if you're too simple-minded. If you don't have the resolve, if you don't have the fortitude to direct your eyes where you tell them to go. Gentlemen, you are in charge of what you look at. You can tell your eyes where to go. You can tell your eyes what not to look at. You can't help but notice something sometimes, but you can help what you linger on. And so you can help where you direct your eyes. You can tell your mind what to think about. You can tell your ears what they're going to keep listening to. And so it is our responsibility to drive this in the proper direction, because at the heart of a simple man is a man who is slave to his compulsions. At the heart, if you really want to know what it is about a simple man that keeps a simple man simple, it is that he is a slave to his compulsions. I've sat down with many men over the years and just talked to them about, man, why is it that my deepest desire is to be obedient to Christ? My deepest desire is to follow after him and to have a sort of righteousness that I walk out that honors Christ and glorifies Christ. And I also desire to be honoring in my relationship. If they're married, they want to honor their spouse. They want to have a relationship where that's built on trust and there's not things going on that are being shady. And yet, even though that is their deepest desire, they're at times getting confronted with a temptation and they're giving in to what is most surface level rather than being driven by what's most deep in their heart. My guess right now is you're not tempted at all to do anything shady. You are directed. Your desires are directed towards Christ. You are focusing on him. It's not this moment you need to worry about. It's the moment when you're not paying as much attention to him that you need to be more careful. And so how can we grow? How can we grow? We'll get there in just a minute, but now I want to talk a little bit about the seductive woman. The seductive woman is tricky all throughout the Proverbs, because if you read the Proverbs on the surface, what she's looking for probably most and what you're going to see most is she desires attention. She's dressing in a kind of way so that people will notice her. She's speaking in a kind of way so that men will take notice of her. But I actually think at the heart of a seductive woman is a deep desire to be in control, to be controlling. And let me explain what I mean by this. I think if we go all the way back to the garden, what you see when we watch the fall of mankind happen is you see that there are certain consequences or curses that are spoken out at that time. And because Adam sinned, he's going to have to work and the ground's going to work against him. The work is now frustrated by the fall, like we talked about last week. But part of the curse towards Eve is that she is going to desire to be in control of her husband and rather she will submit to him. Now, this is not a whole message about women submit to your wives, like wives submit to your husbands and all that kind of stuff. What I'm just acknowledging here is I think the tendency in women to recognize sometimes the leadership or headship that should be on men, and maybe they're being passive, maybe they're not leading in the way that they should, but one of the quickest ways that you can leverage yourself to be in control of a man is with your looks and with your words, because men are drawn to that kind of sin. They have a proclivity to that kind of sin most times, not all men, but most times. Can we acknowledge that? And so I think the way that the woman is going to go, the seductive woman in particular, is going to go about drawing attention is she's using her tension really as a form of manipulation to be in control. And you got to understand this, that the seductive woman, she, yes, Proverbs 7:11-12, she's loud. She's loud and she's wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market. And at every corner, she lies in wait. Notice how the seductive woman is on the offensive to try to draw people into her trap. She's looking for this. She's out on the prowl, so to speak. Proverbs 11, 12. Like a gold ring in a... Oh, I'm sorry. Go back a verse here for me, Jen. I don't want to skip one. She's loud and wayward. Her feet... Okay, yeah. Go. Sorry. Gosh, I messed up. Here we go. Like a gold ring in a pig snout is a beautiful woman with no discretion. I don't know who that proverb is more offensive to. You know what I'm saying? Because like on the one hand, you're like, did the Bible just call girls pigs? I'm like, yeah, but it also just acknowledged that men are so short-sighted that if they see a pretty girl, they're just like, oh my gosh. And they don't even realize the fact there's a pig behind that gold ring. You know what I mean? But you think about this verse. You think about it. Like a gold ring and a pig snout is a beautiful woman with no discretion. What's being shared here, and you put Proverbs 6:26 up next to it, for the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. What's being acknowledged here in the Proverbs is the seductive woman has a way of cheapening the worth of a marriage or cheapening the worth of a person so that now the physical acts that they're exchanging between one another are reduced down to almost just a commodity rather than being something that's enjoyed as it properly should be in a covenant relationship of marriage. Instead of now it's just being cheapened down to say, oh, it's just this exchange of goods almost. And what I'll say is I've watched, I guess, over cultural trends with this, and I'm sure you felt it too, that women, I think for a long time, maybe back in the 90s and early 2000s, there was a lot of this, like the way you dress is you are responsible for a man's purity. Have you felt this before? That the men, like women, you are in charge of how you look, how you present yourself. If you're causing a man to stumble, then you need to change the way you dress. And I think as we've heard that, we've kind of go, well, that's not all right. The responsibility can't be all on women. But now I almost feel like this shift is going on to where it's like, women, you wear whatever you want. The man's responsible for his own eyes and what he does. And here, what's the problem with that? Is they're both true, but either one of them separate from each other are not leaving us with a complete answer. Men, you are responsible for what you look at. Women, you can find a way to help your Christian brothers that you care about. You care about their salvation. You care about their sanctification. You care whether they're stumbling or not. And so you can help them in this way, but it is not your responsibility. You are not responsible for them stumbling. That action, that decision to engage in lust is that decision on the man's end. What's wrong on the woman's end at time is that desire for attention, that desire to be seen, to be looked at in a kind of way, to be treated in a kind of way, all so that there can be leveraged something in the relationship. That's the simple man and the seductive woman as we see them throughout Proverbs. But our goal here today, hopefully you came to church today, because we don't want to stay simple. We'd like to grow. We'd like to be mature. We'd like to stand strong on our convictions. We'd like to walk out this path of righteous obedience that we are called to live on, wouldn't we? And so the first thing that I want to point out is that a strong man is fixed on Christ and his desires are rightly directed. Gentlemen, you can get all the accountability partners that you want. You can download all the kind of protective apps on your phone. You can do all the measures that you can take to make sure that you don't stumble in this kind of way. And you should do those things. But those things should become second. They should be secondary to your desire to be right with Christ. If you don't start with the desire to say, I want to live a spotless life in front of Jesus, it doesn't matter what's happening in your relationship with your wife. It doesn't matter what's happening anywhere else, what's going on in your life, what other temptations you're facing. You have to first acknowledge the fact that, no, I want to be obedient to Christ. Husbands in the room. I know not everyone's married, but husbands in the room. This is the call for us as men, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Notice this isn't weakness. This isn't the man just laying himself down saying, whatever happens. No, Jesus laid his life down to save the church, to save his bride. And so we should take notes for that. If you're not married yet, we should take notes from that to say, this is the kind of husband that I aspire to be, one with meekness, not weakness. I want to have great self-control. I want to have great power, but I want it to be controlled in a kind of way. That's what meekness is. That's what Christ demonstrated for us on the cross. He had great power. He was up against his toughest test. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was enduring the cross, and yet he laid down his life for those that he loved. Man, this is our call, to lay down our life to see that flourishing would happen in our families all around us. It says in Proverbs 5:18, one of the methods that you can take, married men, is you can delight in the wife that you have. Be a student of your wife. Study your wife. Rejoice in who God has given you as a helpmate in this life that you have. Let your fountain be blessed. And rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. If you want extra reading, you can go read Proverbs 5:19. Men, I would encourage you to go read it, but we're not going to read it here in church today. I'll just leave it at that. Men, we got to be cultivators of what God has put in our hand. And if you're married, then that's what he's given to you. But even, I know there's lots of men in this room right now, you're not married yet. Maybe you aspire to be married someday. Maybe you were once married and you deeply miss your wife. I don't know where this season of life is for you, but now is always the right time to be focusing on your purity. Even if it's for a spouse someday, even if it's to honor your spouse that you used to have, even if it's just to protect your relationship with Jesus, to walk in purity is a good thing. It's a good and right thing. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Ladies, yes, we're going to go to Proverbs 31 to look at the virtuous woman. And before we even read it, let me just say, Proverbs 31 feels like it's pretty impossible to live up to, doesn't it? Y'all that have read it are nodding right now. Y'all that haven't read it, you're like, I don't know. And I'll just say this girl's getting it. You know what I mean? Like, she's doing all kinds of crazy stuff. She's making her own clothes. She's like running a business. She's doing all sorts of kind of crazy stuff. And so I want to walk through a few of these passages because I think what's captured in Proverbs 31 is a virtuous woman. Ladies, this is who you aspire to be. A virtuous, strong woman, a confident woman, a woman who gets all of her value and worth from Christ first. All right, so let's look through a few of these passages. Hey, Landon, would you mute me for just a sec? All right, Proverbs 31, 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Ladies, one of the most life-giving things you can do for your marriage is you can make sure that your husband trusts you. And you are doing things where you're continually sowing trust into your marriage. He's not wondering about who you're paying attention to. He's not wondering about where your attention's going. He knows that you trust him. And trust, this is the great saying, it's earned in drips, it's lost in buckets. And so a faithful wife, a virtuous wife, is constantly sowing trust into that marriage relationship account. Proverbs 31, 20, verse 20 and 21. She opens her hand up to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. Notice that the Proverbs 31 woman, she's doing such a good job caring for her house, like we talked about this last week with this diligence and slothfulness message. But the Proverbs 31 woman is caring for her kids, caring for her own home. She's taking care of things well enough that she has the ability to also reach out and care for the needy. So the woman, the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 is caring for so many other people. Proverbs 31, 29 and 10. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Talk is cheap. It's easy to have flattery in how you use your words. It's easy to draw attention with how you speak to people. It's deceitful. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Beauty, you maybe have it, maybe you don't so much, like you're just drawing attention to yourself. Beauty is, it's going away for all of us. We're all getting older, but the fear of the Lord, the woman who fears the Lord is greatly to be praised. What does this mean, ladies? That if you want to be a virtuous woman, it begins and ends with your relationship with Jesus. I just want you to know, women, that there are so many things that the world is demanding and pulling on for your attention all the time, all the time. And the world, like if you're on social media, like, Lord, just help us. The comparison, the things that we're trying to do, the things we're trying to keep up with, the people we're trying to be like. And I just want to let you breathe for a minute. It all begins and ends with you fearing the Lord, having a relationship with Jesus. That is sufficient in everything else that you do. That is it. That is it for you. And if the man that you're trying to grab the attention of doesn't care about your relationship with Jesus, new man, forget him. Move on. It starts and ends with your relationship with Jesus, a virtuous woman. Here's how we break down Proverbs 31 as simply as I can. She blesses, cares for, and adds value to others. There's a lot of other details that you can pull out of Proverbs 31, but at the end of the day, she's a blessing to those who she's around. Like people walk away feeling, oh my gosh, I'm just glad I know her. She contributes. She's so fun. I like being with her. She's a blessing to be with. She cares for. Women, you're tender, you're kind, you're able to be compassionate. Like you're caring for others, people in your household, sure, but you're also extending your hand out to the needy and to the vulnerable. I'm so thankful that like my wife has an eye to take care of people that I can be more brash and judgmental against. And Katie can go, I think we need to talk to that person. The Proverbs 31 woman is caring and kind, and she's adding value to other people. What does it look like to say, man, this marriage, these roommates that I live with, these kids that I'm around, these people I work with, I'm going to try to add value to them. Because again, the Proverbs 31 woman is sufficient in her relationship with Christ. So she's not competitive or in comparison with, she's solid and she's stable. And so she's able to go, no, I'm going to add value to other people because I have everything that I need in Jesus myself. That's what I believe Jesus wants to offer you, ladies. Is this invitation off the rat race to keep up with every other mom that's always feeding her kids organic snacks and they do every other activity in the world, you know, and they're always, you know, doing everything and her husband is perfectly happy all the time, clearly on Instagram. It's like, get off the hamster wheel, ladies. What Jesus is trying to offer you today is the peace and the sufficiency that comes from all your worth, all your value, all your identity, things that only he can give you, come from him. He establishes it. And so for both of us, men, women, what we need to know is that there is a battle going on in our soul. Like I said, nobody is perfect in this realm. No one is unscathed when it comes to these kinds of sins. What we have to know is that there is a war going on inside of us. Paul writes it like this in Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit or line your life up with the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What he's saying here is if you are focused on the Spirit, if you are abiding in your relationship with Christ, then you are going to have an easier time not satisfying the desires that your flesh want to do. So in you simultaneously is the battle of the Spirit that wants to do the godly things that God wants you to do. And there's the battle of the flesh, the things that you want to do and the things that are not honoring to God. And these two things are at war. He says the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They're opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. In Colossians, he writes like this. So put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. What's the invitation for all of us, men and women, to take the dramatic step to put to death the temptation that's in our life? Put it to death. Like we want to make sure that that thing is gone. All the power that we have is gone, is putting to death the things that are earthly in us. I think it's no mistake that this is actually how Solomon begins his letter to his son. We started reading right in about the lustful woman that he sees across the street. But it starts in this way, Proverbs 7:1. Listen to the tender, caring heart of a father in these first four verses. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. One of the key things for you to have victory in these battles is to treasure, like, actually spend time. Think about the things that you treasure in this life and how much time you spend at it, how much mental energy goes towards it, how much of your emotions go towards it. Is the word of God one of those things? If you want to have victory in this area, you've got to make God's rules and God's ways. You've got to make that one of the things that you treasure the most. He says, keep my commandments and live. Keep my teachings as the apple of your eye. Notice they're what my first attention goes to. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Ancient Near East customs would say, what's written on the tablet of your heart is what you believe, what you value. And those are the things that you think about, meditate on. And then the things that are written out on your hands, that's the outworking of what you believe. It's what you do. And so what Solomon is writing to his son is he's saying, keep this stuff in your heart and do this stuff as you live. And again, he's trying to write to his son to prevent him from falling into the trap of lust. But what I want to just acknowledge as we move into some ministry time here is that there is no mistake. There is freedom found in Jesus from whatever it is that is holding you back right now. And I want to say just a couple things, maybe pointedly to a couple different groups. I think there's maybe single people in the room. And maybe you do, maybe you don't struggle with some of these sins that we're talking about today. But what I just want to remind every single one of you of, whether you're a young person desiring to be married someday, or whether you're an older person desiring to be married someday, maybe you're in a season of life where you're single and you don't think you'll be married again. I just want to remind you that Paul writes to single people in a way where he says, there's so much that God can do through you because you're not caught up in marriage. That's a weird thing for me to read as a married man, but there's this gift in singleness. And that's true. You have to embrace that gift. The fact that the kingdom can work powerfully through you because you have full devotion onto Jesus. Like married people, our attention's divided. We're looking at a couple different, I'm trying to keep track of three kids and make sure they don't like run out in the street every day. You know what I'm saying? But like as single people, what you have the gift of is full devotion into whatever it is that Jesus calls you into. And so don't waste this time. If your desire is for married, we're going to pray for you. If your desire is for marriage, we're going to pray for you that God would grant that desire. But don't waste your singleness. Don't waste this time. Married people, and men in particular, I want to challenge you that this week, would you maybe uncover some stuff that you've kept hidden if you've kept it hidden? And that can look a lot of different ways. I would suggest you find somebody that you trust. Find somebody who's got a relationship with Jesus that you aspire to have someday. And would you just talk with them? Get this thing out in the open so you can begin putting it to death. Because there's no like holding hands with sin at a safe distance. Its desire is to devour you and to rob your marriage, everything. And ladies, I just want to suggest to you, I'm shocked at the marriages that I've watched fall apart over the last several years. It's actually been women who maybe didn't get the attention they wanted from their spouse, and their spouse should have given them the attention, make no mistake. But the women are now finding attention in other different ways, and they're walking away from their marriage. And I want to say, and I felt it so strong this morning as I was up praying for you guys, that Jesus does make adultery a lane where divorce is permissible. I think we're familiar with that. But that doesn't mean it's going to solve the problems that are going on in your life right now. And in fact, all of us as believers, whether you get divorced or not, and I would just urge you to reconsider if you're considering divorce today, I would just ask that you would really consider the fact that marriage is not a solution to problems. It's only going to cascade new problems out. And we are all, as Christians, whether you have a wife that's struggling with some things, whether you have a husband that's struggling with some things, whether you're single and you have some friends, whether you're older or younger, it really doesn't matter. All of us as Christians are called to forgive. It's not optional. It isn't. If you read the parable of the unforgiving servant, you have this one guy who's his master forgives him of this lifetime of debt that he could never have repaid. And then he goes from there and he's unwilling to repay his servant. What this parable is trying to teach us is that if we're unwilling to forgive people in our life that have wronged us, I'm not talking about people that have done the right things for you. That's easy. But the people who have wronged you, who've cut you in the worst kind of way, who have hurt like down to the deepest part of who you are as a person, that's the kind of person we're called to forgive. And you might say, how could I possibly forgive them for what they did? And the only way that's possible is if you receive the fact that Christ has forgiven you. And once you continually dwell on the fact that Christ has forgiven you of all the mistakes that you've made, all the mistakes you will continue to make, then and only then will you be empowered to forgive the person next to you who's maybe done something wrong. So I want to move into some ministry time. And I want us to pray in this kind of way today as we end. I think every single person in this room, young, old, in between, that we'd be strengthened today to be a more godly man, a more godly woman. Our culture today, as it's going crazy with all this different stuff going on, we're in desperate need of strong men, strong women who use that correctly. But then I would encourage you, especially if you're married today, I want you to grab your spouse on the shoulder, lean in with them. I want you to pray for forgiveness over one another. I think it's powerful. Receive forgiveness from God. Receive the power to forgive yourself if you've done something wrong. And then would you just pray that we'd have the ability to forgive each other? All right? I want everyone to pray. I think whether you're married or not, in this moment, you have the ability to receive that forgiveness for yourself if you've made some mistakes. Because again, everyone's made them. Everyone's gone down a path they didn't want to go. And so spend some time asking for forgiveness. I'll pop up and I'm going to lead us in some prayer before we dismiss. So go ahead, spend a few moments praying. I'd love to pray a few different directions here. I want to pray first for the kids in the room, young kids. Parents, if you're next to them, maybe you just put a hand on their shoulder. Maybe your kids are all checked in, getting taken care of in the kids' ministry. Just picture their sweet little face. God, we just pray blessing over the children of this church. God, for the youths that you've entrusted to us as parents. God, what an overwhelming thought it is to try to shepherd and direct a little soul, God. And so we just pray right now that your Holy Spirit would strengthen and empower the young people of this church to walk in purity. I don't think it's ever been harder or more difficult to walk a pure life. God, we pray there'd be something different on the kids of this church. God, I pray that they would be protected. I pray that you'd be with them. I pray that they'd know your voice, that they'd listen to your conviction and your direction. God, I pray that they would hear you and they'd respond. God, I pray that you would empower them to do the things that they're called to do. And God, I pray most of all that when they're weak and when they fail, because we all do, God, would they run to you? Would they run to the arms of the Father who loves them, who can't wait to embrace them once again? God, I pray that you would always be their safety net. And maybe I'm going to pray now for the marriages in the room, or if you've got your significant other with them, just go ahead and put your arm on their shoulder. God, I just pray for the relationships, the marriages of this church. God, I pray that you'd strengthen every single one of them. God, I pray that you'd bless the marriages of this church. God, would you make them filled with warmth and laughter and joy? God, I pray that you would bring close connection in so many different ways. God, I pray that they would flourish in this season of life that they're in right now. God, I pray that you would, for the marriages that have grown a little cold, the ones that are in a difficult season right now, God, I pray that you would come in, even in this very moment. We pray that your Holy Spirit would pierce through, that you'd rekindle a friendship between the two. Would there be warmth that replaces maybe the cold distance in a relationship? God, we pray that there would be strong marriages all throughout this church. Strong marriages make strong families, and strong families can change the world. So God, we just ask that you would bless the marriages of our church. I'd also like to pray for people who aren't married, for single people. So maybe if you even see somebody sitting next to you that's just by themselves, we throw a hand on their shoulder. God, I pray for the single people who desire to be married someday. God, I pray that you would just grant them the desire. I pray that you would intersect their path with the right person for them. God, I pray that you would help them have great friends in this season. God, I pray that you would help them walk into powerful seasons of ministry right now. Would they do even abundantly more than all that they could ask or think or imagine because of you at work in them, God? God, for those who've maybe lost a spouse recently, God, our heart goes out to them, and we know that your presence is near to those who are brokenhearted. And so God, I pray that you would provide the comfort and the peace that must be needed in this season. God, I ask that you'd strengthen them. God, would you show them that they're still here, they're still fighting, they're still going for a reason. God, would you show them what that reason is? Would you give them fresh purpose in their life today? Would you direct their steps, guide their path so that they would know exactly where to go? And God, for the people who are single, they've been single for a long time, and they are content, truly content in their gift of singleness. God, I rejoice in everything that you're doing in their life, and we just pray that you would increase your work in them all the more. God, the gifts and the time that they have, God, I pray that you would draw them in all the more to the workings of your kingdom. Help them be focused and attentive on you. God, would they hear your voice? Would they follow your leading? And would they move the needle? Would they make an impact in the world we're living in today? For all of us, God, we pray that you'd strengthen us. Strengthen the men of our church. Strengthen the women of our church. That we would be strong men, virtuous women, all about the things of your kingdom. God, would you give us the ability this week to focus on putting to death what is fleshly in us? Would we cut ties with what has grabbed our heart? Would we break that agreement that we've had with the enemy? Would we start to agree with what you've said? Would we rehearse the truth of what you've told us, God? And would you empower us to live the righteous lives that you've called us to live? God, we love you and we're for you. We want to see you continue to do great things, not just in us, but through us, God. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. I love you. If you need prayer for anything, our prayer team's going to be up front here with orange lanyards on, so come see them for sure. Go see Chelsea at House Info if you need anything else. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.